Sergio Vieira de Mello, the United Nations envoy in Iraq, was killed there when terrorists blew up the Canal Hotel in Baghdad in August of 2003. De Mello was 55 when he died. He'd had a career as a high-level diplomat who'd started working for the UN when he was just 21. A Brazilian, de Mello was charming and persuasive, multilingual, a hard-working cosmopolitan, and a veteran of many war zones, from Rwanda to East Timor. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Samantha Power has published a new biography of de Mello, showing how his own life and career in many ways reflected the changing mission of the United Nations. Her book is called Chasing the Flame, Sergio Vieira de Mello and the Fight to Save the World, and Samantha Power joins us now. Welcome to the program, Samantha.
Great to be here, Jackie.
Would you remind people, please, our listeners, of who Sergio de Mello was and what the path was that he took to become one of the world's most prominent diplomats?
Well, when I first met Sergio in Bosnia in 1994, I was told in advance of my meeting that I was about to meet somebody who was a cross between James Bond on the one hand and Bobby Kennedy on the other. And I thought, wow, who is this masked man? And what he had done is he had joined the UN after being a student radical or student revolutionary in his own mind in Paris in 1968, had thrown stones at police and stormed the barricades and protested the state and imperialism and all bad things. He wore his leftism very, very loudly, he used to say, in those days. And he saw the United Nations in some ways as an alternative to imperialism, as an alternative to the state. Of course, as soon as he joined the UN at age 21, he quickly realized that the UN was both the place where we parked our principles, but also a gathering of states. And that tension between the UN as the sum of the better angels of the world, but also the UN as just a gathering of self-interested state actors was a tension in a line he walked for most of his career.
Why was he deployed so ubiquitously?
Well, he was a person who spoke seven languages. As he accreted these experiences in prior war zones, of course, he became a person that could reliably handle the stress of having bullets and shells land around you. He liked to negotiate with evil. He liked to engage with anyone from the Bosnian Serbs to the genocidaire in Congo to Muqtada al-Sadr in the summer of 2003 in Iraq. By the end of his career, I should say that he began to look back on that side of himself and be very troubled by it. I think Srebrenica, the massacre there in 1995, and the genocide in Rwanda were turning points for him. So by the end, he retained that belief that you had to be in the room with the people who posed the greatest threats. But while in the room, he was quite adamant about actually raising the harms and the crimes and not pretending as though history hadn't happened.
So by the time the invasion of Iraq was looming in 2003, it was rumored that he was going to be Kofi Annan's special representative there. He had just come from East Timor, where he'd had quite a successful couple of years. But he himself was ambivalent about the job, and it was true that many UN staff were very opposed to UN involvement in Baghdad. So why did he go?
Well, the short answer is he went to Iraq because he was asked. He asked Kofi not to ask him. But in the end, both Annan, both Secretary General and Sergio put the UN's welfare above their own kind of personal considerations. And Sergio felt, if the Secretary General of this organization that I have given my life to believes that I can do more good than harm and that the UN will be itself benefited by me going there, I have no choice but to go. But I'm only going to go for 4 months, and then I'm going to resume the life that I'm intent now on having going forward.
So he goes to Baghdad in June of 2003, sets up UN offices at the Canal Hotel, intended to leave at the end of September, but he never made that because, of course, of the attack. Regarding the attack, the UN would later come in for severe criticism about its lack of security arrangements. The road that ran behind the Canal Hotel was open. The windows weren't taped. There weren't enough guards. Why didn't de Mello take greater precautions?
Well, the bureaucratic answer is he was actually not in charge of security. Somebody else was in charge of security, but that's a bad answer. That's a UN answer. The longer answer is Sergio actually very deliberately set up the Canal Hotel headquarters as a kind of anti-green zone. very willfully saying, okay, if Bremer is setting up shop in Saddam Hussein's palaces and there are walls and sandbags and barbed wire and Iraqis are having to wait out in the hot sun for hours on end in order to make complaints, I'm going to do the opposite. I'm actually going to create a space where Iraqis can come in, file their grievances, check their email, and by virtue of doing that, I'm going to get a read on the Iraqi street that's actually going to help us figure out how to do this transition away from an American administration very quickly. But one of the perverse tragedies of all of this is that because President Bush predicated the war on a link between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, and because so many in the international community were skeptical of that claim, people in the UN and in foreign embassies in Iraq were probably too slow to actually recognize that al-Qaeda wasn't there beforehand but had come in the wake of the invasion. And so paradoxically, the anti-Americanism may have done the UN a disservice.
Would you please describe what happened on August the 19th of 2003? Sergio Vieira de Mello is trapped in the rubble after a truck bomb hits the building. He's buried under concrete for 3.5 hours. There appears to be no evacuation plan, no rescue equipment, no nothing, really.
Well, this is the other tragic, perverse aspect of the story of the UN in Iraq and the story of Sergio in Iraq and the story of the loss of 22 people, not just of him. Bush, of course, again, predicated the war on this link between terrorism and Saddam Hussein, and yet didn't actually instruct the U.S. military to do any preparation for large-scale attacks on civilian targets. In other words, if you were going to believe that al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein were linked or that al-Qaeda was in Iraq, surely then you would have prepared for the kinds of attacks that al-Qaeda is notorious for. But that's not what was done. And so what happened when the bomb went off in the afternoon of August 19, 2003, is, it has to be said, U.S. soldiers in an ad hoc way did a heroic job running into the rubble, rescuing people who could be rescued. But when it came to actually bringing to bear the tools of the most powerful superpower in the history of mankind, very little sophisticated was done. In the rubble, Sergio lay having lengthy conversations asking about the welfare of his staff. Two American soldiers, American firemen, in fact, scaled down into the shaft that Sergio was buried in under the rubble, and all they had to bring to bear was literally a curtain that had been taken from the Canal Hotel, which was used as a stretcher. They had a lady's handbag, a straw lady's handbag that they used and put rubble inside the handbag and then developed a pulley system with the curtain rope. And that was what was brought to bear. There was no shoring wood, so the walls were trembling. The rocks, every time they would lift rubble from above Sergio, the rocks would come tumbling back down on top of him. It was the most primitive rescue effort you can imagine.
You write so movingly of these last 3.5 hours of his life. You say, as his life seeped slowly out of him, there must have been a moment, hopefully not a long one, when he realized he was every bit as helpless in his time of need as millions of victims had been before him. He died under the Canal Hotel's rubble, buried beneath the weight of the United Nations itself. Samantha Power is the author of Chasing the Flame, Sergio Vieira de Mello, and The Fight to Save the World. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jackie.